Hello, everybody. This is Jeff Roney, and you are listening to Roney Zone Radio. This is episode 3. This is going to be very different than our first two episodes. We're going to be taking a departure of subject matter, and I hope that you'll listen to it with an open mind and an open heart. It's very important, and I feel it needs to be said. So, buckle up. Here we go. We have a great interview today, and I'm here with Paul. And Paul, I'd like you to introduce yourself, and we'll get started.
Yes, I'm Paul Johnson. I'm from Simi Valley, California, and which is about 20 miles northwest of Los Angeles.
Excellent. Tell me about your conversion, how you met Christ.
Well, I'm 58 years old, and I, in 1995, I started to attend a church on the inspiration of my wife. And however, I was not a Christian. I believed in God. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of a Star Wars type God,
sure,
force or something like that, and no formal philosophy, but just reality that there was a creator and it was bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have any theology with that, and so after about 5 months, and actually on the day my mother died, God revealed himself to me in a number of ways that day, and I left her in the hospital after being with my mother about 8 hours. I realized that I had come to faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. It kind of all started there.
Excellent. I think in kind of leading into what we're really going to talk about today, I think that there, in my opinion, there is a head knowledge of God, and then there is a heart and action knowledge. And if you could explain what servant evangelism is and maybe how you got involved in that.
Servant evangelism has kind of two scriptures that support it. And the foundation of it. And I would say it was out of Romans 2, where it says God's kindness leads to repentance.
Mm.
And then out of Matthew 5, where it says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And I think that's the basis of servant evangelism. And so using that then as a basis for a mission, you could kind of in a nutshell say that servant evangelism is a demonstration of the kindness of God by offering, you know, to do some humble acts of service for people with no strings attached, and then just letting the Holy Spirit orchestrate the rest.
Sure.
So that's what I would say in a nutshell is servant evangelism. Actually, it really should give credit where credit is due, is that the term servant evangelism itself is one I think was coined by a pastor from the Cincinnati Vineyard by the name of Steve Sogren.
That's right.
He wrote two books on the subject, one called The Conspiracy of Kindness, and another one, Servant Warfare, How Kindness Conquers Darkness, Spiritual Darkness. And he also has a website. His work had a great influence on when I discovered it, on my starting a journey that led me into a number of ministries, or one of which leading a servant evangelism team in my church.
Sure. I'll just give you a little background about myself. I was a pretty jaded First Assembly of God kid about 1986, and going to a Christian college, and pretty much had heard it all, seen it all. And in 1987, my mother invited me to a Vineyard Bible study, and I was introduced to the Vineyard Christian Fellowship at that point, and I went to the Signs and Wonders Conference. And as I began to go to the church, I came upon the servant evangelism aspect, and it truly blew me away, because I feel that the world in which we know now is so jaded against really hearing anything about the gospel. They've heard about the Jim Bakers, all the different scandals that have gone on, you know, and the different scandals and different religions are still going on today. But I think that servant evangelism really interests me because it gives a different face upon the message of the gospel. If you could kind of mention a few different ideas and maybe some stories about some of the outreaches that you've been involved in.
Well, the way we started to do outreaches, I read Steve's book, and then I did a lot of praying, and then that praying led me to put together a team of people that I knew that would be willing to step out and do a 1 to 2 hour outreach somewhere in the community. And the one we actually initially started with was a free car wash.
Mm-hmm.
And Now, a lot of churches do car washes, and usually, typically, they're youth car washes, and they do them as fundraisers. And so when people drive around and they see a car wash at a corner, a lot of times they think, well, it's some organization that's raising money, and they'll stop in and get their car washed and expect to pay a donation. Of course, when they drove into our car wash that was, we held it at a gas station, they drove in and they saw all these people, but they weren't the youth that they were usually thinking of. There were people of all ages there, and that was just kind of curious to begin with. And then when they pulled up and we started washing their cars and offering them free water or free soda, they were totally surprised. They said, well, wait a minute, aren't you expecting a donation? And we would say, no, we're just showing God's love in a practical way. And they would say, you know, we had people say something like, what do you mean? Nothing's for free. What's the catch here? And it may have to take a bit to convince them that it was actually free and there was nothing wrong with the water or the sodas, and they could actually drink this and sit back and sit on a chair and relax and we washed their car. And many of them wanted to make a donation, but we would never let them do that. And it just changed. We could see it changed hearts. And in some cases, people would actually ask for prayer. In other cases, we just have wonderful conversations with people. In a couple of cases, we saw people inspired in their own businesses to offer something. Even if they weren't Christians, they would say, I'm going to go back to my business and start offering free things at my business.
Fantastic.
That I own. You know? And so that's how it kind of started with that car wash. And we did many car washes that followed that, and like I said, people were always surprised that they drive in and they'd see me, a little older fellow, and they'd say, you know, well, you know, you're kind of old to be washing cars out here. And I mean, you know, they would expect someone 17 to be washing cars, but not somebody in their 50s. So
sure.
it was quite a wonderful experience. That's where it started.
Mm-hmm.
We went on to doing water giveaways in parks, at sports events, at parades, just a wagon walking through a park randomly, just giving people jogging along the jog path water. There's always, you can always opportunities to give away drinks because people are always thirsty. So
sure.
That's one of the things we did. Another thing was we went into laundromats and fed coins into washers and dryers for people and asked, you know, just showing God's love in a practical way again. And again, often we'd get asked for prayer,
mm-hmm.
and people, you know, just have some wonderful conversations and always just letting the Spirit lead us, never reaching beyond on our own what God has just laid in front of us to do. And so that was one of the things we did. One time it was very successful. We had birthday parties in parks. People go out and rent, blow up Jolly Jumper kind of things.
Sure.
It would bounce around. We rented one of those and we had like a giant birthday party in the park, except we invited everybody that we could see at the park to come to a party, and we gave away free hot dogs, had face painting, had balloons and bubbles, and it just attracted all. We held that in kind of a little bit of lower income community,
mm-hmm.
and we are part of the town that's a little bit lower income, and it was just a wonderful response, and people couldn't believe that we were giving away things, and it was free, and there was no catch. And we always brought Bibles with us, and we'd have people that, you know, we'd ask, do you want a Bible? And we always gave away the Bibles.
Yes. Sure.
People always wanted one. That was some of the things we did, yeah.
What I really loved about John Wimber, who I miss quite a bit, is that he really had a heart for the people. Because his heart for benevolence and caring for those who didn't have anything, whoever they were, always kind of spilling over. And I remember he was teaching from the Bible, and he pointed out a couple of times where Jesus would show something. Maybe he would heal a blind man and say, I am the light of the world. And so he would do something that would lead into a gospel message where he would call people to repentance or let them know that God loves them and has a plan for their life. And I think this is exactly what servant evangelism is. It's a practical way of showing God's love, and no strings attached. Maybe you leave a card that says, you know, if we can be of any more assistance, here is our church. And it's no pressure. You're asking for no money. And I think it's just fantastic. And I remember reading on the Servant Evangelism website a story about you planning an outreach to a gay pride parade, and I'd like for you to talk a little bit about that.
Well, yes. Actually, it was a gay pride festival. Actually, there was no parade,
okay.
But it was a big festival grounds with booths and food and activities. And a number of years ago, a group of gay and lesbian entrepreneurs and activists came to the city and wanted to hold a series of, one every year, of gay pride festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't people from in the city, they were outside the city. And that got quite a bit of controversy in the papers and letters to the editor and among the churches. And hearing about this, many people were saddened that that was going to happen. Actually, I thought about it, prayed about it, and I was rather excited that it was going to happen. I thought that what a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel to a new group of people that,
sure.
That were organized in a way coming here. So I prayed about it with a team and put together a team, and we inquired, and we actually put an application in to rent a booth inside the festival as among them.
Sure.
And go there just in love. And so, frankly, there's people at our church, even some elders, that were quite confused about why we would try to do such a thing. They felt that we were encouraging or supporting their lifestyles, their ways, but fortunately, the pastoral staff was not influenced by these naysayers, and the pastoral staff said, well, go ahead, we'll even provide you a budget and certainly have our support. Although our team was not made up of any professional pastors, but it was a very godly group of praying people and people that had been with me on other outreaches. And so we did rent a place, and we made our booth, and we did this twice, two different festivals over several years. We had a booth there, and we made a party-like atmosphere. We had a big rainbow of balloons above our booth, and of course that community loves rainbows, so
sure.
We made a rainbow, and we had music, we had beautiful flowers in our booth that we gave away, hundreds of flowers, hundreds of little bunches of beautiful lily-like flowers.
Mm-hmm.
We had suntan oil that we gave away, whole bottles of it, and we had face painting. We couldn't give away any food or water because it would have competed with the concessions there, but if
yes.
We had wonderful music playing, and had stickers that we'd give to people that said God loves you, no strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
And had on the rim of the sticker around it was a circular sticker. It had the name and address of the church and a phone number, but it was the main message was God loves you, that anybody who was burdened and heavy laden should come to Jesus and have peace and rest. And people were coming and putting those stickers all over their body. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I had them walking around with 25 stickers on their chest. So and then we had somebody out in front of our booth shooting Polaroid pictures of people and then giving them the picture free. And we had a totally party-like atmosphere. We were the only church in the place that was not a gay church. There was two other booths in the festival that were like gay churches.
Okay.
But they actually came over and hung out with us because nothing was happening at their booth.
Huh.
They came over and hung out with us, and the leader of the festival knew that we were not a so-called gay-affirming church.
Right.
But he knew we were coming in love, and we knew that we were not there to beat people over the head with the idea of the sinful lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But we never compromised the truth of Jesus' word, but we weren't there to tell them all about the law,
right.
I'd say, because they've heard it. I mean,
sure.
that wasn't something you needed to tell them. They knew basically what the Bible said about that. So, but we wanted to show them love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did, and it was very successful.
But if you watch most news reports, we see signs of hatred towards gay folks and
sure.
Gay lifestyle, and churches as a whole in the Midwest and the South, and I don't need to mention names, but they're very vocal about where tornadoes go and these kind of things. But the thing that God has really been laying on my heart lately is, no matter what Romans says, no matter what Leviticus says, it says in the Bible, love one another. And there's
right.
No box. There's no boundary. There's no pointing, well, you can love this person and you can't love this person. And even though you disagree, that you still need to love. It doesn't negate the fact that you shouldn't love everyone. And,
right, and they, Jeff, they have to see the love. I mean, they've often heard the phrase, hate the sin, love the sinner.
Right.
But they don't see the love part. They
true.
Just see that, they hear the words, love the sinner, love
yes.
the sinner,
yes.
but they don't see it. And
right.
so you have to go there and, in a sense, be their friend and love them and get in step with them. And then let Jesus, after they fall in love with Jesus, Jesus, you know, will lead them to the way of righteousness. My main task was, mission is getting them to love Jesus.
Right.
And you don't get them to love Jesus with beating them up with the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, I was reading through the stories of the outreaches, and this one just left off the page.
What you don't see in what you read there is some follow-up story, because some things happened after I wrote that story.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that would happen is that a number of people in that lifestyle, in fact, had been in that lifestyle for over 20 years, came to our church and are now out of that lifestyle and are leaders in ministry.
Wow.
And one of them actually was at that festival, was dressed up as a gay, one guy was dressed up as a gay cheerleader. He was dressed up in drag.
Yeah.
And he came to our booth, and I put a big sticker on him. And he actually took the sticker off and threw it on the ground, but he took the flowers that I gave, and he took, I think, some suntan lotion or something, and he went off to be with his pom-poms to be a cheerleader. But then eventually he came to our church, and he said, and I almost didn't recognize him at first because he seemed familiar, but it's like, you know, where have I seen this person before? And then I got to know him, and I said, yes, this is a person at the Gay Pride Festival, and he gave his heart to the Lord, and he has served in other Alpha ministry with us. He's been involved in other things, and we've had another lady that came out of the lifestyle. In fact, when we met her, she was in a marriage relationship, you might say. She had two children with another lesbian, and mm-hmm. they became good friends with us. One of them came out of the lifestyle. She's now a great friend, and now she leads a ministry for outreaches to women, mm-hmm. and she's completely fell in love with Jesus. But we didn't have to beat her up about,
sure.
even while she was loving Jesus, she still believed in that lifestyle. She still
yeah.
thought that the Bible justified it. But over time, without us any arguing about it with her or trying to convince her out of it, just her love for Jesus just brought her out of that lifestyle.
And you would have never seen that if you hadn't of taken the step of God kind of leading you to go there. Because I would imagine, as you kind of alluded to, is that most churches wouldn't step anywhere near that place. And
no, there were some other churches in town that did go to that festival, but they didn't go inside the festival.
I see.
Didn't rent
okay.
the room. They stayed on the outside
sure.
with protest signs.
Yeah.
Or some kind of standing outside with tracts about sin and
right.
testing out with people entering or leaving the place.
Right.
And so, of course, those tracts just got thrown on the ground.
Yeah.
And they've seen that hate message before, so they didn't. And I even went outside and talked to some of those churches, invited a couple people in.
Mm-hmm.
They were very nervous about coming in, but they walked around, and I remember talking with one fellow, and he thought he was doing the right thing, and I said to him, you know, we have to show love to these people. And his statement to me was that, no, we show these people too much love. What we need is telling them about their sin.
Mm.
And I just pray for this fellow, because it's like, you know, he's got it backwards. He's,
yeah.
You know, that's not what these people need.
Yeah. Paul, I applaud you, and I feel that this is really what God wants us to do. I think as a church society that's really kind of grown, we've grown into really good speakers, and we learn what to say, but we never learn how to show love. And I applaud you. I think that to reach everyone, you can't miss anyone, and I think it's just fantastic what you're doing. Let's talk to maybe some listeners who are saying, this sounds very intriguing. Maybe they go to church, maybe they don't go to church, but maybe they're interested in doing that. How can a church start doing these outreaches?
Well, first of all, I would say, before you start anything, you should pray. And mm-hmm. as you know, you need to pray first. See where God is going to offer you opportunity. And just pray to God that He will give you that opportunity to show His love in practical ways. And then, either just as an individual or put together a little team, start serving people's needs. Go give away something to a stranger. Go to a gas station or a fast food restaurant. See who needs some help. Or wash your neighbor's car. Mow your neighbor's lawn. Or go to McDonald's, buy somebody a hamburger. To Starbucks and buy a stranger a cup of coffee. And when they ask you why, just say, I'm showing you God's love in a practical way. I carry around some Bibles in my car, and every time I'm out on the road a number of days a week, and often I see a homeless or a person walking around kind of aimlessly at a gas station or fast food restaurant, and I go up, and many times they'll ask me, you know, do you have a dollar? And I said, well, yeah, I have some God's money right in my pocket. And I hand them money, and I say, well, you know, by the way, do you have a Bible? And, you know, often they say, well, no, I don't. And so many times I'll hand them the Bible, and I'll put the money right in the beginning of the book of John or something, and I'll say, well, you check this out. You might like it. You know, God loves you. And so there's so many opportunities to open up a conversation in the everyday walk of life out in the streets. Or you can put together something organized in a way with a lot of people and just go give away something. There's quite a few benefits not only within the church but outside the church when you start doing this.
Absolutely. I would imagine that if you begin to really open your heart to really feel God's leading ideas pointing you in certain directions, I would imagine that you will hear quite a bit if you're available.
Well, yeah, I found that, like, I guess there would be two categories. Like, within the church, you start seeing, doing this in a little bit organized way, starts building leaders and missionaries. And as I say, you need to build, in a sense, missionaries, not just members. And having a team of people doing some servant evangelism, they see the Bible come alive for them. You teach people to, in a sense, do the message before telling the message.
Right.
And then outside the church, you see people experiencing the message before seeing the message. And then as a result, they start seeking to eventually hear the message or read the message, which is great. And what's always surprising when these outreaches is seeing how people are amazed at how loving the church can actually be and starts changing their perception of what a Christian really is when they see something good happening. And of course, many times the Holy Spirit will just have some kind of an amazing thing that happens during one of these outreaches, and just people, you see transformation or healing or something happen actually right before your eyes, and it creates great faith in not only the team or the person doing the outreach, but of course other people in the community see this happen, and it actually just results in people coming to faith, and that's just, it's just wonderful to see the results.
Man, that's fantastic. I'm stymied, but you have touched me, and I think you're changing people's perception of who a Christian is and what a church can do. Let's talk just briefly. It, on the outside, I think it's kind of interesting for people to look at a church and say, okay, you're spending money to give things away for no strings attached. Is it worth it? What are your feelings on that?
Well, yeah, it's definitely worth it. Certainly when we obey God's commands, it's always worth it, and it's amazing. You can't always measure the worth. I know we live in a culture with so much business science and business management. We tend to, like, run our churches like that. Sometimes we want to see numbers, we want to see a chart, or we want to see how this is actually performed, this activity. But you never try to track it like that. But it's just what I've seen it do in building leaders and building missionaries and also just in conversions, although I don't try to keep track of numbers, but seeing people come to faith,
right,
or even seeing people change their perception of what a Christian is. They may not come to faith at this point or anything that I see, but I see them change their attitudes about what a Christian is and what it is to be a follower of Jesus. I like to say I'm a follower of Jesus more than I like to say that I'm a Christian, because sometimes the word Christian has,
sure,
a different connotation to some people that means some kind of a political bent or some other kind of attitude that they think I'm going to have. It certainly is worth it any time you see people start to know Jesus.
True. I just like to give you just, you know, a few seconds to really, something that you really want to just leave the listeners with.
Well, I just kind of go back to where we might be were at the beginning, where I said that really that God tells us that his kindness leads to repentance. And of course, his kindness works through us. He's decided to partner with us and not do it alone, but he uses us. And so his kindness leads to repentance, and encourage people that will happen. And if you just let your light, as Matthew says, is it, you let your light shine before men and see those deeds, those humble deeds, and that'll point them to the God in heaven. And with that, we're obeying the Great Commission, and you need to just go do it and just do something today. Every day you can do it. You don't need to read the book first or wait for somebody to organize a team. Just go do something for somebody right today.
Right. Paul, it has been a pleasure. That brings us to the close of Episode 3 of Roni's Own Radio. I'd like to personally thank Paul Johnson for a great interview. I also want to guide you, if you have more questions or want more information, about what Paul was talking about or I was talking about on the JRDOnline.com website. If you click on the Roni Zone Radio link, you'll be able to go to a page that I have some links to the Servant Evangelism website that will give you more information about Steve Shogren and what Servant Evangelism is. I'll also have a link to the Gay Pride Outreach article that I read, and I'll also have a link to Paul Johnson's church's website if you have any interest for that. I thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode. We are going to continue to do different episodes that really speak to the heart of certain issues, and I hope that you follow us along on this journey. Again, this is Jeff Roney saying, see you next time. True Tales is coming. It's a bold new audio production from Jeff Roney Designs Productions. It involves a family reading Bible stories. Now, if I mention Bible stories to you, are you getting tired? Do you think of an organ playing or maybe an old Sunday school teacher reading out of some book? But what if I told you that the Bible stories, the True Tales way, were different? True Tales is a new approach to the greatest stories ever written. It's a real family with real problems reading stories from the greatest book ever written. True Tales is another Jeff Roney Designs production.
Roney Zone Radio.